There's some questions.
Yes, Maharaj, there are two similar questions. Mm-hmm. First question is from Russian Facebook. I got initiation in one mission, but now I live in the city in which there are no followers of it. Is it allowed to get instructions from my for my spiritual life from the devotees of another mission and to serve under their guidance? And the second question... Well, wait.
Do they say which mission?
No, it doesn't say which mission.
One mission. They're taking a survey. Mm.
And another question is from Rupa Vilas Prabhu from Philippines. Though being initiated, can a disciple have a secret relationship with another guru, like a paramour? Pardon my French.
Well, I mean, I should preface these remarks by saying that these questions are addressed to one's initiating guru, who's also instructing guru. So if you've taken initiation from a guru, then we'll ask that guru, say, I'm in a situation where there are no God brothers or God sisters. Do you approve of me associating with the disciples of another guru? That's for that guru to answer. And we see, sometimes Srila Gurudev, Srila Govinda Maharaj, his disciples were in a situation like that. And they said, oh, there's a local ISKCON center. Can I associate there? And he would say, if they have regard for your guru, they have proper respect and regard for your guru, in that case, him and Srila Guru Maharaj, then there's no objection. But in response, perhaps it leads to the second question, which is, because also when you leave that, it's nebulous. Take an initiation in a mission from a guru, and then there's the disciples from another mission, another guru. What qualifies someone to be guru? What and the mission of what? As Guru Maharaj would say, an organization is formed to promote an ideal. What is their ideal? Is it, you know, Gaudiya Siddhanta, Gaudiya Darshan, what's descended from Mahaprabhu to Saraswati Thakur and his followers? Or is it some sahajiya deviation from that? Those questions have to be answered. Guru Maharaj says, with reference to the Upadeshamrita Sloka, with regard to if someone's taken the name of Krishna, how to deal with them, if someone's initiated, how to deal with them, and how to deal with the third class, second class, and first class devotee. And he makes a point beyond what appears to be obvious that he's saying, if someone just taking the name of Krishna, we're told mentally offer some respect. He said, but to actually formally show respect to another, some formal recognition and expression of respect, he said they have to have a proper connection. So that means he was eliminating sahajiyas from that conception. As elsewhere, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, before joining in a kirtan, it must be led by a pure devotee before joining in any kirtan. And then we'll think, well, who meets that criteria? And if I had to respond to that, I would say, for example, in the time of Srila Prabhupada, regardless of the adhikar of his disciples, he's the pure devotee who's overall leading that kirtan. So it has some divine backing, some spiritual substance, even if the local agent might be of questionable substance, adhikar, capacity, eligibility. But at least the principle we should understand. So it depends on the spiritual substance. Otherwise, without qualifying who is guru, what is a disciple proper, what is a mission that's promoting pure ideals of Krishna consciousness, then a blanket answer to these questions cannot be given. One of Srila Guru Maharaj's themes is substance over form. Right? Saying if form and substance are one, that's wonderful. But if there's a, what's the word? Not a contradiction, but some question between the two, we will look toward the substance. As we saw in the case of Gadadhar Pandit and Pundarik Vidyaniti. Pundarik Vidyaniti, from an objective, external point of view, was exhibiting behavior that Vaishnavas generally shun. But so Gadadhar Pandit had some apprehension. He's recommended by his good friend Mukunda, but he's seeing what are externally objectionable things. Pradyumna Misra saw externally objectionable things with regard to Mahaprabhu, but with regard to Ramananda Roy. But Ramananda Roy was being promoted by Mahaprabhu himself, certified by Mahaprabhu himself. So the case where what was shown formally, externally, was a cause for concern, but the genuine spiritual substance was there. Pundarik Vidyaniti, Mahaprabhu called Premaniti. Said, today my life is fortunate. I've seen Krishna Prem personified. Mahaprabhu said, even I may be So with regard to what Pradyumna Misra observed of Ramananda Roy, Mahaprabhu was saying, if I hear the name of a woman, it may cause some transformation in me, the name, form, etc. He said, not so Ramananda. He has an aprakrita deho. He appears like a person of this world. Actually, he's 100% spiritual. He doesn't have a trace amount of exploiting tendency within him. So it's must be noted. Mahaprabhu is sending Pradyumna Misra to hear from Ramananda, who's socially speaking a Shudra, right? He's not the preferable Brahmin guru. He's by occupation considered a Shudra. He's not a sannyasi, and he's doing something that appears to be extremely objectionable. And Mahaprabhu was saying, you should hear about Radha and Krishna from him. Someone, if we just saw this on paper, we would dismiss them out of hand as being bogus. But that's the person Mahaprabhu is sending to, as if to underscore the point about substance over form. Same thing with Pundarik Vidyaniti. Mukunda saying, you want to see a real Vaishnava? And what is Pundarik? We hear he has a hookah, and he's oiled hair, and he's on silk pillows and cushions, mirrors, palanquin. He looks to be an abject sense enjoyer. He looks like the total opposite of what we would conceive of as being a pure devotee. Again, why? To underscore this point that you have to be able to recognize the spiritual substance. So Guru Maharaj, if you read Sri Guru and His Grace, this appears repeatedly, thematically. He said in one instance that there's a saying with regard to the Ganga, What is real Ganga? Because sometimes we see the Ganga, there's a current, it enters the current of another river, it's no longer considered Ganga, it's part of that river. Another river entering the current of the Ganga becomes considered Ganga. He said, so the saying is, colloquial saying is that, what is the Ganga proper? Is the current, right? Not what you can observe objectively. It's this current, and the parallel, the spiritual current. Is that real and substantial? Or formal and superficial? How much so to recognize? Guru Maharaj's famous example that this Aurobindo Ghosh was the leader of the anarchist party in Bengal. And at one point in his life, he was a fugitive. So he'd absconded. But he still wanted to be active. And this one lawyer, he noticed in these newspaper articles that although the name at the bottom of the author was different, when he saw the content and quality of the articles, he thought, these are being written by Aurobindo, but they're putting someone else's name there. So he made a court case, and in the court, he invited the editor. And he said, as the editor of the newspaper, you know who writes the different articles, correct? And he said, yes, I do. And he's holding up this one article, and he said, who wrote this article? He said, I can't say. You can't say? No, I won't say. And Guru Maharaj said, he turned to the judge holding the paper and said, Aurobindo's last name was Ghosh. And he said, here's Mr. Ghosh. Right? Because he could understand in terms of substance, what was there was undeniably, unmistakably coming from a particular source, regardless of what the name was or the form aspect. So do we have such confidence? Before we begin applying these principles, do we know for certain this is the case? Just as in our case, from Srila Prabhupada, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to Om Vishnupad Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami. This was not a whimsical move. Or a concocted choice, but out of genuine inner necessity, coupled with Srila Prabhupada's certification of Srila Guru Maharaj. What did we understand from Prabhupada? He said, after I depart, when the necessity arises to consult spiritual authority, go to Sridhar Maharaj. Elsewhere, he said, you are in search of a Shiksha Guru. You need your necessity is a Shiksha Guru. The one I can recommend is the most qualified of all my God brothers. That is Sridhar Maharaj. I consider him to be my Shiksha Guru. What to speak of the benefit that you can get from his association. So with that sort of certification, we humbly, cautiously approach the lotus feet of Srila Guru Maharaj. And what is alluded to here by Rupa Vilas Prabhu, there's examples given by Guru Maharaj. Because sometimes a disciple, they might find themselves in a position where the guru does not approve of taking shiksha instruction from someone who's genuine. That's also a possibility. It's one thing for them saying, I don't approve of this person because they're substandard, or they've deviated into sahajiyaism, or other reasons. But there are also instances where the person is valid or bona fide. Just as recently, and we heard in the past, of Vamandev. Bali Maharaj is rejecting his guru, Shukracharya, who's telling him not to comply with Vamandev's request. So here, in that famous sloka, Gurur na sasyat, Svajano na sasyat, Pita na sasyat, Janani na sasyat, Nadeva na sasyat, etc. Examples are given, you know, Prahlad, because all the different types of gurus we may conceive, mother, father, deity, and then uncle, you know, auntie, grandfather, you know, brother, sister. Bibhishan rejected Ravan, Prahlad rejected his father, Hiranyakashipu. The Yajna Patnis, the Vipra Patnis, they rejected their husbands. And different examples. But Bali Maharaj rejected his guru. His guru was Shukracharya. He did not approve in the presence of, the overwhelming presence of divine substance personified as the Vaman avatar is before him. And he's saying, don't do it. So he thought, it's time that you and I part. So, but there may be an instance, many circumstances are possible, but the guru is relatively qualified, but would not approve, either for organizational reasons or otherwise, of, and I say, a substantial Shiksha Guru. In that case, Guru Maharaj is saying that introducing the paramour example that Mahaprabhu gave to Rupa and Sanatan, that the wife who has a paramour is attentive to her duties, but in her heart she is given over to the paramour. But these are very critical decisions to be made. It cannot just be given some general principle and applied. As Guru Maharaj said, when you learn the theorem, you say there's addition, subtraction, division, and multiplication. So you can't say, when I have a problem, should I add, subtract, multiply, or divide? What do you recommend? Let's say it will depend on your problem. Sometimes it'll be addition, sometimes it'll be subtraction. Sometimes it'll be division, sometimes it'll be multiplication. Sometimes it'll be a combination of a variety of things. So all of these things have to be qualified. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigyashu shreya uttamam shabde pare cha nishnatam brahman upasam ashrayam. See in the statements of the scriptures, various descriptions of guru. What is their guru connection? Is it real or substantial? We've seen in recent history, sometimes the Prakrita Rasa of Radha Kunda Babaji is being relabeled, you know, a bottle of poison with a label on it that says Gaudiya Math approved. What is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Chaitanya Shikshamritam when he gives allegorical representations of the childhood pastimes of Krishna? The first, everything has multi-level, multifaceted significance. The first demon to approach Krishna is whom? Thank you. All the way from Siberia, we got an answer. Putana. Putana Rakshasi. And so what does Bhaktivinoda Thakur say about that? He's saying, although these are actual pastimes, still he's giving some allegorical interpretation. He's saying the baby, Krishna, represents the sadhaka, or the aspiring devotee, in the infant stage. And Putana, what does she represent? The bogus guru, false guru. Why? She's coming ostensibly as a nurse. What is the nurse's function? And particularly previously? She's a wet nurse. The child will suckle her breast, and the breast milk will nourish the child. So Putana had these large breasts that they thought they're laden with, you know, pure spiritual substance, milk, that will nourish baby Krishna. But what has she done? She's poisoned her nipples. Like Sanatana Goswami's sloka, Abhaishnava mukodgirnam putam harikatam ritam sravanam naiva kartavyam sarpo chistam yatapayo. We're always quoting Braja Gopis saying, Tavakatam ritam tapta jivanam kavibiriditam kalmasya apanam. They're singing the glories of Krishna Katha. Katha Amritam, Krishna Katamritam. The topics of Krishna are life-giving, life-saving nectar. Then in this, Sanatana Goswami Prabhu, the Sambandha Gyan Bhakti Siddhanta Acharya says, if the person is not a proper Vaishnava, don't hear Krishna Katha from them. Right? In other words, what is an apparently nectarine substance, the topics of Krishna, when their source is not genuine and authorized and in the line of faith, Shraddhan Vato Anushranaya Dattavarna Yeja, he's saying, don't hear that. He said, it's like milk touched by the lips of a servant. In other words, it looks like milk, some nourishing substance, it's poison. That's coming from Sanatana Goswami Prabhu. Well, think, well, when, if you say these pastimes of Krishna, when are they poison and when are they nectar then? Then we can understand, it's just not literally hearing them. It's not data transfer or some particular information that you can find somewhere. One girl said to me once in Calcutta, like, asked for explanation about the Rasa Leela pastimes. And I tried to explain that in our life, Srila Guru Maharaj, Prabhupada Guru, you know, that we're not discussing those things in detail. They're alluded to in summary form in various ways. And she said, oh, an Indian man on the bus explained it to me. Right. Mahaprabhu is telling Pradyumna Misra to go to Ramananda. What did he say? There's Ek Ramananda. There aren't two. You hear from him. And she said, oh, a nice Indian man on the bus explained it to me. For those who were born to be deceived. Self-condemned. So, how to recognize spiritual substance, that has to be at the basis of all of this. Otherwise, talking about guru and disciple and shiksha and paramours and missions and I don't mean to be disrespectful or flip about it, but those things, don't enter the picture till some very basic facts are established. Who is the guru? What is the shiksha? What is that mission? What does it represent? What ideals is it promoting? Guru Maharaj said, we know Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a dozen or so children. Think of that, a dozen or so. And Guru Maharaj said, two are seriously pursuing Krishna consciousness out of the dozen. And they're children of Bhaktivinod Thakur. And he said, and of the two, we consider one a sahajya. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana kotishvapi mahan. How rare, sudurlabha, bhagavata hiloke, to find a proper devotee in this world. And it said, the slogans there are saying, and as rare as it is to find a proper guru, it's even more rare to find a proper disciple. Is that to discourage us or encourage us? It means that, you know, this is, it's not just something serious, and we can say it with a smile on our face, but it's the most serious thing ever, ultimately. The most serious, the most noble, the most critical decision anyone will ever make in their life. More than any other decision you make, this is the most important decision. So, Bhaktivinoda was saying, so Putana, she comes, they saw Yashoda and Rohini, they're talking, they see, and she looks like a beautiful girl, and her breasts are full of milk, and she's going to go to the nursery of Krishna. Yeah. So what is he telling us? May appear to look very nice externally, a nice Indian man. Be full of nectarine substance, all, telling so many things about Krishna, Radha and Krishna. Right? But poison to the baby, balai means the infant stage, is that's why that allegory is given. In the baby stage, most critical. Right. And the sadhaka, aspiring sadhaka, has to deal as Krishna dealt. Someone else didn't come in and eliminate her. Krishna had to deal with Putana. That aspiring servitor has to deal with this. Guru Maharaj does not support the idea in instances where people think that, oh, somehow I got in connection with, a bogus guru, for lack of a better expression. So, and they're operating under the assumption that they are sincere. They're just totally sincere, but somehow they got this undesirable connection. And now they want a new connection. And that's understandable. But Srila Guru Maharaj's point of view on this is very interesting. He's saying, you should be thinking, what is it within me that brought about this connection? Not that you're just totally sincere and somehow you connected with, you got a bad connection. He's saying, no, what was it, what is it within me that brought this about? That has to be dealt with also. It's understandable to seek a new connection. But Simon's Atma Samiksha, self-analysis, saying, what is it within me that did that? To what degree am I culpable? What's my culpability? Krishna telling Arjuna, Nahi kalyanakrit kascha durgatim tatagacchati. Sincerity is invincible. Sincerity, earnestness. The sincere will be victorious. So then we're left with our sincerity. Hridayena binugato yodharmastha nibodhata. Manu Sangita saying after, vidyad bi sevita shad bi nityam advesa ragi bi. Telling what is guru, how they're detached from the world, absorbed in spiritual substance, they have shastric understanding, shastric representation, they're their predominant concern is Shabda Brahman, spiritual sound and its representation and extension, proper representation, faithful adherence, so many things. But then it says in the last consideration, Hridayena bhinu gato yo dharmastha nivodata. The heart knows. The heart should know. And then we think, well, how do I know it's my heart? Therefore, we're praying. Then we pray, please, don't let this be an act of self-deception. Right? We're praying to Nityananda Prabhu, the general representation of Guru. Please, let this choice not be an act of self-deception. And you have to proceed sincerely, earnestly. But these factors have to be there. After we made the book Sri Guru and His Grace, which deals with all these things extensively. So one expression that came up from our time, we're showing that Prabhupada himself endorsed Srila Sridhar Maharaj. And then on the basis of the spiritual substance he's giving, you can recognize who he is. And he also has certification from Srila Saraswati Thakur. Right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written this through him. I may leave the world, but my spokesman remains behind, someone who can represent me perfectly and fully, completely. Many ways to certify. And so the theme was there about hearing from the higher Vaishnava. Then a few years later, I meet some devotee who's on his way to hear from some Sahajiya guru. And he's quoting Sri Guru and His Grace saying, well, we've got to hear from the higher Vaishnava. He's going to take shelter of an imitationist. Someone who appears to be full of nectar, but it's poisonous substance. So, that cannot be helped. It says God helps those who help themselves. So we should be very cautious before taking these actions. To consult, as Guru Maharaj says, do not be overly confident in your own assessment of things. So that leads, and I assume that that's why these questions are being asked. I appreciate that. That shows some, that the questioners are not overly confident in their own assessment. Guru Maharaj said, then seek the advice of senior, reliable, more experienced Vaishnavas and take counsel from them. But as I said, the details, these are general principles, but the details have to be supplied to make a precise determination.
Yeah, there are details. Ajita Krishna Prabhu is texting us that this question was from your disciple, and this question was about ISKCON devotees, if she can get instructions from ISKCON devotees.
All right, and as I told, and Gurudev's response, if they respect your guru, then there's no objection. I'm also a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Any other question?
Yes, Maharaj. A question from Gupta Govardhan.
The actual Dom is asking a question. I understand from one of the devotees here.
What is the essence of Vaishnavism? What does it mean to be a swan in the context of devotion?
A swan?
In the context of devotion. Uh-huh.
What comes to my mind is when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was inaugurating the publication of his journal, The Harmonist. And in the inaugural issue, he draws some comparison to a publication of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which was titled Sajjan Toshini. And in there, he's described something that I think answers, gets to the heart of the matter. He says that Sat, if we get very specific about that and define, Sat means the supreme absolute truth, the ultimate reality. He's saying, on the one hand, we say, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda. Ishvara, you know, Krishna is the supreme controller. But he's saying, but that Krishna, the supreme absolute truth, he's not alone. So, Radha and Krishna. Krishna alone, in that sense, he's saying, Krishna alone is not, but Radha and Krishna, they're the supreme absolute truth. And he said, Sat. Jana, Satjan, Sajjan, when you sandhi, apply sandhi rules, means, Jan means the group, the people. Sajjan means those who are theirs, right? Who they consider their own. So who are whom Radha and Krishna consider their own? Think about that. Because we can go from this direction, but in this sense, I prefer to come from that way. Because we'll think, well, could it be this person? That's another thing. Who do they consider their own? That's such a high and wonderful thing. Right? Who is in their hearts? Whom do they think about and love with unlimited affection? The Sajjan means their own, Radha and Krishna's own. So he's saying, Sajjan Toshini, Tosh means to please, to the attempt to please them. So Vaishnavism proper, Guru Maharaj tells in this way. He said, when I first came to Gaudiya Math, he said, you know, you're told you should accept, you know, Adau Guru Vashraya, right? Whether teaching Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami, what's the first thing? First, you have to take shelter of a guru. And then so many other things are mentioned after that. They said, I understand. We're taking shelter, the most superior amongst the Vaishnavas, we take shelter of them as guru and then proceed under their direction. He said, but then I was thinking, one day my heart's inner hankering for a direct connection with Krishna will be satisfied. Maybe it'll be a long time in the future, you know, but all right, I surrender to this Vaishnava guru and I will do everything you say. But I'm thinking, one day my heart's inner hankering for a direct connection with Krishna will be satisfied. Then he said, but I came to understand in time the Vaishnava is everything. As when he, before he, and Guru Maharaj is so unique, you know, before he joins Gaudiya Math, he's there at the time of Gaur Purnima. And like there's the deity and then there's the Math building next door. Saraswati Thakur is upstairs with a group of devotees. And he's talking to the pujari and says, so the deity is Mahaprabhu's present within the deity, or how should we understand the deity? He actually knows the answer to this question, but he's setting him up for an ontological dilemma. Because the famous saying is there, Deha Dehi Vibedo Yam Neshwe Vidite Kvachit. The Vaishnavas see the deity as Krishna. Not Krishna's within, as Krishna. Every part of him is Krishna. Inside and out, it's Krishna. Not there's this statue and Krishna's inside that. Not like that. That's not, Krishna's appearing like that. And then we think, oh, Krishna is so playful. He appears all these different ways. So the devotee, so Guru said, within the deity? And the devotee goes, what? What do you say? The deity, Sakshad Brajandanandana Hari, he's directly the Lord himself. Because there's Mahaprabhu and Guru Maharaj. Oh, so it's directly the Lord himself. So your Guru Maharaj is upstairs right now. And all the principal servitors are with him. And the Lord is appearing. It's his appearance day. And you say, the Lord is here, but everyone's with him. That's why he said the first thing. He's like cornering him. But this man, he's a disciple, he's trained by Sarasvati Thakur and Gaudiya Mad. And he said, the Lord will be appearing in the heart of our Guru Maharaj in a more intense way, with greater magnitude. And then Guru Maharaj later gave this adjustment, saying, yes, the deity is Krishna himself. He says, what is our capacity to recognize that? When Mahaprabhu goes before Jagannath, we're told, you know, Guru Maharaj said, what do we see? An awkward figure. But we're charmed. But he says, you know, Jagannath is really, how do you say, not what you expected. And on top of it all, Mahaprabhu is seeing Shama Sundar Krishna. When someone commissioned the murti of Guru Maharaj, and many of us were not, we had some reservations about that. We're thinking, that doesn't look like Guru Maharaj. And Gurudev later adjusted, he said, if Jagannath is Krishna, then that murti is Guru Maharaj. But anyway, when Mahaprabhu goes before Jagannath, he sings Shyamasundara Krishna, and like Ganga-like streams of tears are shooting out of his eyes in divine ecstasy. So Guru Maharaj is saying, what is he seeing? And what are you seeing? What is his capacity for seeing? So he means to say, yes, Krishna's in the deity, because we say, why do we shift our attention to the Vaishnava? Because we have little capacity to appreciate that. But when we come in connection with the Vaishnava, Krishna becomes real, palpable, accessible, a living thing to us. Whereas with the deity, we're sitting there perplexed. Or thinking, well, I heard this and I heard that. So Guru Maharaj is saying, also, darshan means to present yourself to be seen by the deity. Again, back pointing to our lack of ability to see. When some Saraswati Thakur disciples went for darshan, like of Gorgadadhar, and they come back, and Saraswati Thakur said, so you saw Gorgadadhar? And they go, oh yes, it's very, very beautiful and very nice. And he goes, you saw Gorgadadhar? Yes. You saw Gorgadadhar? And they said, no, Maharaj, we did not see Gorgadadhar. And he went, yes, what you engaged in was eye exercise. So they're told, you read, like with your eye, you start at the lotus feet of Krishna, then you go up to the body of Krishna and to the left and then the smiling face of, and you're going like that. So it means that your eyeballs are going up and they're going to the left and to, it shows Saraswati Thakur had a sense of humor. They're saying, no, we did not see Gorgadadhar. saying, yes, what you did was eye exercise. And we say, oh, well then, why should we go before the deity? Because the deity has the capacity to see you. And that's good for you. It's good for us. So we make ourselves nice, and that's why it matters. What you wear, what you look like, you present yourself to the deity, and then you're seen by the deity. And we have a little capacity to see something. We're also thinking, oh, deities look very wonderful today, or nice. Sometimes Gurudev, when said to someone like, at a particular ashram, he said, so do you think the deities are happy and they're satisfying? And he's like, how would I know? You know, and Gurudev said, you must know. I don't trust anyone who doesn't know. You must know. If you are their servitor, and then you must know. And dealing with, like, something is right, it's not wrong, you have to be sensitive to that. They give some indications in various ways. If there's some seva aparad or something, the servitors, some indication will come to them to make an adjustment, an improvement, or something. Right. So on the one hand, we have very little capacity. On the other hand, Gurudev is saying, no, you have to know something. Not to be so foolish, think you're seeing Krishna, this, that, and the other thing. But some indication about the service is acceptable. This is the culture of devotion. But still, our emphasis comes to the Vaishnava. So Vaishnavism is where the devotee is in the supreme position. And not only that, what is Gaudiya Vaishnavism means Mahaprabhu and Radharani, where they are in the supreme position. So this idea of engaging in Krishna culture, like we'll meet some people, oh, I like to see the Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan and... Where, when I showed Gurudev a picture once from a poster of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan and Govardhan, and I was, you know, we like unrolled it, show it, and Gurudev said, Maharaj, I am afraid of that. Srutasrava for Vaishnava Maharaj, the two of them said, I am afraid of that. And we're like, I said, what do we do with it now? We just like, put it in his room somewhere, and you know, thought he's the only person who can handle this. Why? Same thing Saraswati Thakur said, why not to look at a picture while you're taking Krishna Nam? Said the senses are like vultures. They're looking for the dead carcass. This is, instead of Guru Maharaj, objective and subjective, he's making it very strong, like vultures looking, they'll convert it into their food. Saying rather, Nam Rupa Guna Lila, from the divine sound, the heart under the influence of what has been heard and given from Sadhu Shastra Guru and Vaishnava will express the divine sound. And from there, the form, Rupa, form may come, revealing guna, particular qualities, and lila, pastimes. That's the way. So, really, Vaishnavism and Gaudiya Vaishnavism in particular means in our line, the Rupa Nuga line, Radha Dasyam, the aspiration to serve the holy lotus feet of Srimati Radharani in the Rupa Nuga line. That means under the guidance of the spiritual hierarchy. Lalita, Vishaka, Rupa, Rati, down to our Gurudev, who we consider as Radharani's delegation. So what was the question? It was, what is the essence of Vaishnavism?
And what does it mean to be a swan in the context of devotion?
Yeah. I think we were talking about this the other day a little bit. Swan of the mind, swan. So these comparisons are given that and we're told Hangza, Paramahangza. So the Hangza is legendary in the sense that told, given a mixture of milk and water, the swan can extract the milk and leave the water behind. I mean, it goes for the essence, the most essential thing, and leaves the non-essential thing. Then we're told, and so saints who do that are called Hangza. But those who are really expert at doing it are called Paramahangza. Right? Extracting the essence and leaving the superficial, or that which is of lesser substance behind. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the conclusion of Madhya Lila, Krishna Lilamrita Sar Tar Shata Shata Dar Dastika Jaha Jaha Hoite Sei Chaitanya Lila Hoi Manasa Hangsa Sarovaroi Manasa Hangsa Manasa Hangsa Charaha Tahate Manasa Hangsa, you see, the swan of, he's saying these pastimes of Krishna Lila, which is being streamed in Gaura Lila, they're like lakes full of lotus flowers, and you know, let the swan of your mind swim in these pastimes. So it is that most inspired side of the Vaishnava that is imbued by the grace of Guru Varga with appreciation for this divine spiritual substance. That's the swan aspect of the mind, right? And the swan aspect of the devotee. What did Bhaktivinoda Thakur say? O Saragrahi Vaishnava soul, thou art an angel fair. Saragrahi, as opposed to, what is it? Barabhyahi. One compared to a beast of burden, like has so much shastric scriptural knowledge, like an ass carrying so much of a burden. And saying, what is the Vaishnava? Like, Saragrahi, extracts the essence. The other day we told that so-called Shrutadhar Pandit knows 18,000 verses of Bhagavatam. He's carrying that around. Who are the highest devotees? Chatushan. What does Guru Maharaj say? They're the lowest position. And then with two slokas, Saragrahi, extract two slokas. Natata Priyatama Atmayonir Nashankara slok, certifying the position of Uddhava, Asamaho Charanarenu Jashamahangshang, Shruti Vir Rimrigyam, the certification of the supremacy of the Braja Gopis, of whom their leader is Srimati Radharani. That's the swan aspect, to extract what is essential and most substantial. So then we can understand that means the higher Vaishnavas. And we want to be, take shelter of them, try to serve them, and be under their influence, and make ourselves, you know, potential recipients of their grace through service. It's mentioned by Guru Maharaj, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, third class devotee, where their faith is soft, pliable, weak, they can be easily misled, influenced. Madhyam position is more of an analytical one. But the first class, Maha Bhagavata, told if a third class devotee serves a Maha Bhagavata, they can bypass the second class position. So through service, by serving a pure devotee, substantial Vaishnava, The remuneration is the sort of devotion that is within their hearts appears as a consequence of the service, the aspiring servitor in their heart. And thereby they acquire some increased capacity to appreciate, evaluate spiritual substance, which is the hallmark of the swan-like devotees. We're also told in the beginning of the Bhagavatam saying that, and we, if you've ever seen swans, you'll know this, you're like, the swans, they like stay in a particular part of the water with their own group, and they like very clear, pure water. And then other birds who are not swan-like, they're in like dirty water, other areas, crows, they do all kinds of gross, objectionable things. So the Bhagavatam in the very beginning, Narada Devyas is saying, the real topics of Krishna, they attract the swan-like devotees to swim in their clear, pure, nectarine, nourishing waters. Whereas other sort of topics are the target of the crow-like personalities. So in many different ways, the swan, they give them, but primarily this, at being expert at extracting, recognizing and extracting the highest sort of spiritual substance. Anything else?
Yes, I think it's another question from Gupta Govardhan.
Yes.
It's a long one.
Uh-oh.
Krishna says, "Don't worry, just surrender to me, and I will manage everything." Also, Hari is known to take away all the inauspiciousness.
Yeah.
But how not to worry, how to surrender? And does the Lord take our inauspiciousness too? Our sadness, envy, sense of guilt. And if it is said that you can offer Lord anything, good or bad, is it actually polite to offer something bad of which you want to get rid? Sorry for this simple and silly question.
It's not a silly question, but I think I'll take it up because may require some more detailed explanation. But I could just say in summary that there's a verse, what is it, Chattva, Martyo Yada, Veditatma, Bhagavan, Vichikirshitome. I forget exactly, but Gurudev said it this way, very simply. I think, well, what is the meaning of this verse? And he's saying, it's saying, give Krishna what he wants. So, we can think, oh, you should give the best thing to Krishna. Then we think, well, I think the best thing is this. Right? As one of Prabhupada's early disciples, this very sweet divine lady, she trying to apply this principle, like you should give the most dear thing to the guru. And she had like this rock that was very favorite to her. So she gave like her favorite rock to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada's like accepting that because it's like Bhavagrahi Janardhan. She's thinking, this is the best thing I have. And so she's giving that. So in a in the infant stage of spiritual approach and practice, it's acceptable. Sometimes little kids do that. They're playing with something that's really of no value or might even be, a little gross or something, but they want to give it to you. And so you just take it from them because to encourage them, right? But we understand with growth, development, maturity, they're going to understand, become more acquainted with what standards are, what a standard gift might be, what would be something valuable to offer. So Guru Maharaj put it this way, there's like what we think is good. Then you find out, oh, in the scriptures, I can say, the white flowers that are sweet smelling, those are the ones you offer to Krishna and Radha Krishna. Generally white and with a fragrance, not without fragrance or some not so pleasant fragrance. But so it means like here, like I mentioned so many times, the Lilavati flower, they're like jasmine flowers, these white fragrant flowers. And sometime, anyway, it's an example, you'll find, or you find these sort of foodstuffs are what you offer to Vishnu Tattva or to Krishna deities and not these other ones. So then from Shastra, your, standards of what is acceptable and unacceptable starts to improve under the influence of Shastric recommendations and advice. But then we come back to the original point, which is nice. The Vaishnava, the substantial Vaishnava. So like every day we have the Bhog Arati and you hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur when you say, Shukta Shakadi Bhaji Nalita Kushmanda Dali Dalna Dugda Dadi Dugda. Huh? There you go. So he's saying, and he should know because. So what is the first thing? Shukta. Bitter. Shukta Shakadi. Shak means like spinach, etc. Shukta Shakadi. Bhaji, something fried. Starts, he's naming all these things. So then we'll think that Saragrahi Vaishnav who can extract the essence from the scripture, he's saying we should offer these things to Mahaprabhu and Radha Govinda. So now our standard has been upgraded from just as someone newly connected, newly recruited to Krishna consciousness, what we thought was nice, and then we see, oh, from the scriptures, they're saying these things and not those things. And now here, the highest Vaishnava has told, these things will be very nice if you can offer them. And we read in the pages of Chaitanya Charitamritam, you can just read those descriptions of what is in Mahaprabhu's pastimes, of the different preparations. Some of them, many, maybe most, we're unfamiliar with, but they're extraordinary. And some of the Bengali Vaishnava devotees, they know, they show us, they can make them, like the mochaganta of Sachimata, this type of banana flower preparation. I mean, to what degree is this important? When Mahaprabhu is in South India, he meets Rangapuri, this disciple of Madhavendrapuri, and they're introducing each other to one another. And Rangapuri said, oh, you're the son of Jagannath Misra? He said, I was with Madhavendrapuri and his wife, Sachi, she made this mochaganta, this banana flower preparation. He's saying that was inconceivably wonderful. And Mahaprabhu was like, that's my mom. You know, like, my mom made that. Oh, we were there. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is writing about that. So it's not just on some sweet social interaction. The spiritual substance of what is in there. And these things, Mahaprabhu collecting shock and saying, as he travels with his, this shock will give you Krishna prem, this shock will do this shock will do that. So our capacity to appreciate these things and have some insight into their substantial aspect of them is increased and improved the more we come in connection with the higher Vaishnava. But I think we'll deal with that question again the next time. Hare Krishna. Hari Haraya Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namo. Hari Haraya Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namo. Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namo. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan. Giridhari Gopinath Madana Mohan. Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Chandra. Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Rupa Sanatan Bhakta Raguna. Sri Jiva Gopala Bhata Dasa Raguna. Echai gochai kori charana bandhan. Jaha hoite vignanash abhista puran. Echai gochai jar mui taro das. Kansa bara padarenu mora panchagras. Tandera charana sevi bhakta sanevas. Janame janame more abhilas. Echai gochai jabe braje koilova. Radha Krishna Nitya Lila Korilo Prakash. Anande bolo hari baja Vrindavan. Sri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majai Aman. Sri Guru Vaishnava Pad Padma Koriyas. Hari Nam Sankirtan Kohe Narottamadas. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitai Gaura Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Gaura Hari Bo. Nitai Gaura Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Gaura Hari Bo.
Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parivrajaka Charjan Sateras of the Sri Srimad
Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Srila Bhakti Rakak Shridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Bhagavan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Jai Saparikar Sri Sri Guru Guranga Gandharva Govinda Sundar Ju Ki Jai. Sri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Rupanuga Guru Bharga Ki Jai. Sri Sri Ramananda Ki Jai. Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath. Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadeep Dham Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai. Ganga Devi Jamuna Devi Bhakti Devi Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Om Vishnupad Vishvavarena Srilayasi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Acharya Vrinda Ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Bhimalabhadut Maharaj Ki Jai. Seva Vrinda Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Nithai Go Premanande.